Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags on the market. With DB's patent hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. When I travel to Chicago in September for Top Guy Weekend, I need some great luggage, and DB is just that. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10. That's P-O-D-10. Or going to the link that are in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Heaven has yet another champion. This episode is dedicated to the life and the career of beautiful Bobby Eaton. Rest in peace, champ.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another episode of the Ringside Rant is here with you. I am the man with the magical voice alongside the man that is on his last weekend of freedom before he goes back to school. He's the one. He is the only. Thank God. He is the man with the new computer because his dog decided to knock it off the table. Props to Owen. He is JDG, Justin Davis. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good to be back for another great edition of Ringside Rant and talking about one of the best wrestlers of all time today. So excited.
Yeah, unfortunately, we were planning, as you guys, if anybody that follows us on social media at underscore Ringside Rant or follow Justin at JD2040, we were planning on going with a Bobby Eaton episode this week because he was supposed to be turning 63 tomorrow. And unfortunately, he passed away last week at the young age of 62, man. I can't fathom very, very young. And from what I've seen online, this is rumor innuendo. He passed in his sleep. I don't know. It's not 100% sure, so don't quote me. But he passed in his sleep overnight, which it's to me anyways, this was one of those passings that it kind of shakes you on all fronts.
obviously we're not going to be here forever, Justin. We all know that, but this brought up so many, and I told you this before a couple days ago, this brought back so many memories for me anyways, personally, with my grandparents, because my grandfather passed 4 years ago in April. He was 3 weeks shy of his 97th birthday. My grandmother passed a year later in February of, and she was 3 weeks shy of her 95th birthday. So this brought back so many different facets of that. In addition to Donna, Bobby's wife, passing back in June. And it's like a lot of people say when people have been married for so long or been together for so long or whatever, when one goes soon, one's usually happens because they're just, they don't get too accustomed to being alone very often.
Yeah. This definitely seems to be one of those situations where, you know, one passes and the other one comes right behind them. But definitely unexpected to hear Bobby passing away. Terrible. And, you know, we've lost a lot of these guys too young. Bobby wouldn't have been one that I would have picked that we would have lost at such a young age. You know, I don't think, actually, I know Bobby was never a steroid guy or, you know, a guy that right. did a lot of alcohol or abused drugs or anything like that. So he definitely seemed to be one of those guys that would be around a while. So it stinks.
Yeah. The silver lining in it all is a lot of people are now going back, and compare this, but you know, when somebody passes in the wrestling business, a lot of people go back and watch a lot of these matches. I think the younger generations outside of yourself and me, we're old bastards anyways, but we'll go back to the Peacock or go back to wherever you can get these matches, whether it be YouTube or Plex or anywhere else, and watch a lot of these great matches, man. He had not, in addition to his stuff with the Midnight Express, he had some great matches with in his single career too, that a lot of people, they just don't know about, unfortunately.
Yeah. His single career was pretty quiet there in the early to mid 90s, but he was always there. He was definitely a WCW Saturday Night star there for a while in 94 and 95, mm-hmm. it seemed like. But I just went back this morning and watched the match at the first Super Brawl between him and Arn Anderson for the television championship. And, you know, Bobby wins that. And it was actually just really cool to see how behind him the crowd was. In that match, he sells a knee injury. Arn was working on his knee and he could barely walk, and he still pulls off the Alabama Jam at the end. And when he won, the crowd absolutely exploded. So mm-hmm. it was cool to see.
Yeah. So we've had a bunch of, I want to say this before we get too far into it, is we've got we got three individuals that sent in questions this week. Devin Dowling, big, huge listener of the show. So thank you. Money Mike, as always, and Handsome Andrew on Twitter, as well as Conrad over at the Everything Pro Wrestling Podcast. So if we, for whatever reason, if we answer your questions in the crux of the show, we're giving you the credit now, just because there's just so much to unpack here.
Handsome Andrew is sending us a question about beautiful Bobby. Is that correct?
Correct.
How handsome is Andrew? Have you seen any?
I haven't
pictures.
I can neither confirm nor deny that he is indeed handsome. I guess we'll have to see if pictures have been taken. But like I said, there's a lot of questions in here. So if we go over it, when we do get to that portion of the show and we remember that we did answer it earlier on, we'll make sure to obviously give you guys credit as well. But the 1991 was pretty much Bobby Eaton's single career, but let's go back a couple years before that. We'll get to that eventually, but we're looking at the year of when he was with Stan Lane there in 1990, 89, pretty much 88 to 80 or 88 to 90 is when the Midnights were fucking gangbusters, man.
Yeah.
They're getting feuds with Rock and Roll. They're getting feuds with the Fantastics. They're getting feuds with Wide Eye Southern Boys with Steve Armstrong and Tracy Smothers in 90 at the Great American Bash. Some of these matches, man, we'll go match by match and just kind of break it down, but we'll start with the Rock and Roll. They're best known, obviously, for their feuds with the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky and Robert. We'll start there at 90 at Wrestle War. The Rock and Roll defeat Midnights, and what Meltzer would give 4.25 stars. I went back and watched this, Justin. The storytelling in this match, heels, baby faces, you don't see this. First of all, you don't see this stuff anymore. Very, very often. There's been a few hits and misses there, but you don't see it that much anymore. Where you're seeing Ricky, I believe, basically reaching out to the fans saying, hey, help me, help me. They're beating the crap out of me. Help me, help me. Kid, you're not seeing that anymore.
Yeah. Ricky could definitely sell. And, you know, Bobby and Stan Lane, or Bobby and, you know, anybody really he was working with in a tag team, they, when they were heels, they definitely knew how to cheat behind the referee's back to get that extra heat, to get the crowd going. And then when you have a guy like Robert, you know, that's just, that can sell his ass off. You're going to have, it's hard to have a bad match with those two.
Well, any four of these, man, they could have their single matches, have everybody in their corners. They could have tags, whatever, whenever they were going at it, you knew you're going to get hell of a performance regardless. And it, this week, just listening to a lot of the AFS stuff between Tony and Eric and Arn, just these stories you're coming out, it seems to be the same few stories that you're hearing, that nobody got heat like the Midnights. And a lot of that's a test to bowl, whether it be Bobby and Dennis, whether it be Bobby and Stan, whatever incarnation of it, in addition to Jim Cornette, man.
I was going to say, you have their heel work in the ring, plus you have Cornette, you know, on the mic, and it just made for a perfect combination. Bobby, we all know, wasn't the best talker on the microphone or anywhere else.
Right,
but,
right.
But, and he really didn't enjoy talking, I don't think, a whole lot. Just in his regular life, I think he'd rather go through the day only saying a few words.
Right, right.
But, you know, they were just the perfect combo. Cornette, in my opinion, is right up there with Bobby Heenan as being the best manager of all time. So when you have that, and then you have the work that Bobby can give you, and, you know, his other tag team partner, Stan Lane, was a good worker. So was, I mean, really, if you look at the tag teams that he was in, I mean, his tag team with Arn, they were tag team champions. Just really solid, solid workers, guys that could get people like, you know, the Road Warriors and other people over.
We talked about, obviously, their great match that they had at Wrestle War 90. The same year, they're at the Clash 11, fighting over, this time, the U.S. tag titles. Them being the Midnights, they lost to the Rock and Roll Express by DQ, technically, 3.25 stars. They, going back and doing a lot of research, watching a lot of these matches now that for the show, obviously, before the unfortunate passing of Bobby, but the matches that they had with the Fantastics were better rated. If you want to go by that, better rated by Meltzer than the Rock and Roll matches. However, the stories that they were telling with the Rock and Roll Express were, I think, better than the Fantastics.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and watched that match they had with the Fantastics at Clash 1.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely a fantastic match. No doubt about that. But it did seem like they got a little more heat with the Rock and Roll Express. But, you know, that's the – they were the over babyface, you know, team at the time. So, you know, that's not surprising. But overall, I felt like their stuff with the Rock and Roll goes down as some of the best tag team, you know, wrestling probably ever.
Well, but you even look at it because you say, hey, a lot of people say, hey, who's the best opponent that they've had as far as the tag team goes? And 9 times out of 10, you're going to say, unless people are like really into territorial wrestling, whether with the NWA, 9 times out of 10, I think, or 8 times, whatever, majority of the time, they're going to say Rock and Roll and Midnight. Not a lot of times people say the Fantastics with Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers. Me personally, I know how you feel, but going back and watching these Fantastic matches, I think, and it's nothing against the Rock and Roll Express, but I enjoy the Fantastic matches a little bit better than the Rock and Roll matches, simply because not only because, you know, there was a lot of back and forth, but I think that the actual wrestling matches were better with the Fantastics. That's me personally, obviously, but you're going back to the 88 clash that they lost, or excuse me, that they won by DQ. They're retaining the titles. That was 4 1/4. They lost them to the Fantastics then at a worldwide taping in April of 88. Which was the only 5-star match that the Midnights ever got, which it's interesting to look at it now, knowing that Meltzer's fan love for territorial wrestling, love of everything Jim Cornette, obviously.
Well, what's there not to love about Jim Cornette? He's the most lovable person on earth.
I don't know why anybody would want to hate Jim Cornette.
No.
But yeah, so that's just, like I said, that's just me. You can't go wrong with either one. But like I said, to me anyways, I like the Fantastic Midnights better.
You know, if you look at the pairing of Cornette and Bobby, mm-hmm. it is interesting. You know, nobody ever has a bad word to say about Bobby Eaton. People say he's probably one of the nicest guys to ever be in the professional wrestling business. Mm-hmm. And then there's Jim Cornette with him. And I don't think people say the same thing about Jim. So it is
right.
It's quite the pairing, those two. But, you know, they you know, went together like peanut butter and jelly in a way. Neither one of them drank or did alcohol. So they were good riders in the car together as far as that goes, you know, going up and down the road, the three of them. It was just a good pairing, match made in heaven, really.
Do you think looking at it now, the pairing of the Midnights, any incarnation, whether it be, like I said, Dennis and Bobby or Stan and Bobby or whatever, do you think it would have gotten it over as much if it wasn't for Cornette?
No. Stan could talk, but they needed Cornette. Cornette was just the icing on that cake. They wouldn't have, you know, but I know my personal favorite pairing of the Midnight Express is Bob Holly and Bart Gunn from 1997.
Right. The new Midnight Express. It's like, it's like you listen to any show, you know, when you put new in front of anything, you know, it's going to get over.
Yeah. And when you're the first name of the two guys in your tag team is Bob and Bart, let's not do that.
Was it Bombastic Barter, like yeah. something? I can't remember what it was.
Bodacious
and something. It just didn't really. You're trying to live off and sell a lot of stuff because of the name Midnight Express, and there's only one. Well, technically two if you use different you use different guys in it, but.
The funny thing is, when that new Midnight Express was going on, Bobby's still working in WCW. I think he worked pretty much all the way till the end of it in WCW, didn't he?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that going back and research and whatnot, he even trained a little bit at the power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that was pretty much right until the end, because then he, I'm trying to think, did he go? I know he went over to Japan and wrestled a little bit over in Japan as well. I don't know if that was in between the NWA, WCW or whatnot, but he just wanted to wrestle, man. And he comes back in, I want to say it's like 95, 96, right? Actually, you know what? Let's go over to before we talk about that. I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but September 10th of 88, I saw this and I wanted to touch on this because of the history of it. September of 88, Midnight Express, Four Horsemen, Tully and Arn. Tully and Arn basically gave their notice they're leaving Jim Crockett. They're going up north. And listening to Arn talk about this on this episode that he did for Bobby with when he sat down with Paulie B, they pretty much handpicked Midnight Express to face them. And it was interesting to see here the stories behind it, where Arn, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, but he basically said, hey, if we're leaving, I want to give it to my best friend, being Bobby Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
Kid, this storyline, man, I just wish we would have seen a lot more. It obviously would have been difficult because they're both heels, tag teams. But you look at it, you got Stan and Bobby, and then you have Arn and Tully. Then you have JJ and Cornette. Kid, I don't know how or why they didn't try to do that earlier than 88 before they went north. They may have, my guess is I didn't go too far into the weeds on it, but the story where one's trying to outdo the other, man, I just wish they would have done more with it.
Yeah, that would have been cool. There was a lot of things that Arn and Tully leaving kind of ruined, and that's one of them. Yeah. Tully's career being another, but yeah, that would have been neat if we could have had that angle.
Now, did you end up which combination did you like better with Bob? Because Bobby could have basically been a tag team with pretty much anybody, and we saw that. As far as the Midnights go, did you prefer the Bobby and Dennis earlier on or the Bobby and Stan later?
Bobby and Dennis.
You like, okay.
Yeah. So you always like the original, even though that really wasn't the original Midnight Express. There's Dennis was there with a couple other guys before Bobby came in. But yeah, Dennis and Bobby just, I like Stan Lane. Stan Lane looked like a million bucks when he came in there. He almost seemed to me like he could have pulled off the Mr. Perfect gimmick well. Stan Lane kind of seems like one of those guys. But I don't know, just for the tag team, I like Dennis and Bobby.
So we're here in 88. We briefly touched on that. 1991 comes around. Or excuse me, 1990 comes around. Pardon me. And you're starting to see Midnights do storylines with Flying Brian and the Z-Man for the U.S. tag straps. The Midnight Express wins the titles from them in early 90s, but then they lose to the Steiner brothers later, like 3 months later, I believe. Kid, Steiner brothers and the Midnights. Looking at it hindsight now, Steiners are clearly the baby faces, Midnights are the heels. I'm almost thinking that they should have done even more with this. Obviously, hindsight being what it is, fantasy booking the way it is, I would almost prefer the Steiner brothers and the Midnights over rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby could definitely bump all over the place for, you know, the Steiners. I think they match up a little bit better just overall as far as the wrestling goes, because I think, like, Bobby and Ricky Morton kind of have a similar style.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more of a clash of style, so to speak, that works well, the Steiners of the Midnight.
Mm-hmm. So Halloween Havoc 90, Halloween Havoc 90. There we go. The Midnights end up splitting up. Cornette and Stan leave WCW. We know where Cornette would end up later on up north. And Bobby stays down in WCW. Obviously, he's from Huntsville, Alabama. He's from the South area. He knows his way around there. And it's the first time in a decade that there's no Midnight Express. How do you think Bobby's playing this hand? Is he basically taking as what he can, do you think? Or do you think he's just kind of picking and choosing on what he can do or what he wants to do?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he obviously stayed and started wrestling, you know, as a single. The way Cornette explains it, you know, they were ready to roll and Bobby just kind of was standing there, you know, not knowing what to do. But he ends up staying and getting a nice little singles run, gets the TV title and goes on from there. I think he did work for Jim in Smoky Mountain some.
I think that was later though. I think that was after
like 93.
No, it was longer than that, I think. Because
Smoky Mountain was only around in like 93 to 95.
Was it? So, okay. So then he probably did this run, then he went over to Smoky, and then I know he came back in 95 and 96 and did that whole Blue Bloods angle with Regal, which...
And he did a stop in ECW, too.
I think that was like a cup of coffee. That was him and him and Arn.
Yeah.
And now that we're there, we'll talk about it. Is Regal, learning of his passing, you see online, Regal pretty much coming out and saying that he absolutely loved working with Bobby. And I think they were kind of the same guy, where Regal was growing up, gotten in the business at a young age. Bobby got in the young age of 17. He started wrestling. So I think we're starting to see multiple facets, multiple levels of what Bobby can do outside of the ring.
Oh yeah. Now he's starting to show some comedy, and there's little vignettes with him and Regal and Bobby trying to learn how to be English and not Alabamian.
Mm-hmm. Alabamian. That's a word, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, we have a few friends from Alabama.
You're good CEO words.
But it was funny, those two together, and I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. You know, we briefly touched on Super Bowl I. I want to go back to that and just reiterate, man, this was his coming out party as a singles wrestler. I think when you go into a match with Arn Anderson, legitimately probably the best pure wrestler at this time, and you win the TV title
in WCW.
In WCW,
obviously, there's Bret Hart on the other side.
Oh, you have to, even with this type of shit, you had to squeeze that in. But you look at 91. 91 was pretty much the year of Bobby Eaton. I'll just tell you the year he had. Super Brawl one, he's taken on and defeating Arn Anderson to win the TV title. You go fast forward to the Clash of Champions. He's in a 2 out of 3 falls match against the heavyweight champion Ric Flair. He ultimately would lose, but you're facing the champ. Then you go to face stunning Steve Austin, later come Stone Cold Steve Austin. He would lose the title to him, but you look at that, man. You're looking at Arn Anderson winning the title, facing the heavyweight champion in 2 out of 3 false match. And then you're facing soon to be legitimately the greatest wrestler in ring wrestler of all time and Stone Cold Steve Austin, then stunning Steve Austin. Kid, what? I don't know.
It's a good run.
It's unreal, man. I don't think anybody, and I swear to God, don't say Bret Hart, but I don't think anybody else has ever had a run like that in a year.
Yeah. And, you know, if you do want to check out some Bobby singles matches, 91 is the one, the year to go
right.
Check those out.
And just to, it's just unreal. Going back and even watching a lot of this stuff and just reliving this stuff now, even more so before when doing stuff for the show or just watching to watch it. You know, it's just a shame that a lot of these younger fans don't know how good Bobby really was in and out of the ring, where, you know, you get all these stories, you get stories from Foley later on in when he was writing his book where he was, you know, adamant about coming and bringing an extra suitcase just filled with everything. If anybody ever forgot anything, he would have it, whether it be socks or like any like toiletries or whatever, Bobby would have it. You know, he would have, Christ, he would have 5 pounds of candy for kids that would come over to the house and like the little penny candy crap, like the little like 2 cent things back in the day. And it's just unreal because how good he actually was. Austin himself, obviously we just talked about Austin as stunning Steve Austin. Austin will come out in his book later on in 01 or 02, I believe 01, saying that when you're facing Bobby, it's a night off because he was that good, you know, in ring, offensively, defensively, that he would do things to make it look so damn convincing. Whether it be the Alabama jam coming off the top rope, not even touching the guy on the canvas. And he would never, never hurt his opponents.
Yeah. And those right hands that made a loud slap or a lot of noise when he really wanted to sell those right hands.
Yeah.
Just a really, really good, solid worker. That's all you can say about him.
You could even go as far as saying, you know, other podcasts are doing a lot of in memory of Bobby or doing posts on Twitter or whatever. Best right hand. I believe our friends over at the 2-Man Power Trip of Wrestling, John Paz, was saying, hey, who has the best right hand? And I haven't looked recently, but initially everybody, Bobby, 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 because he made you believe that it hurt. Like I said, going back with the Alabama jam, he made you believe that he was killing the dude in the ring.
Yeah, I would say you would go to Bobby and Jerry Lawler probably for best right hands.
Yeah. I would even go as far recently go to the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But yeah, that's, you know, that's a topic for another time, but I don't think we're ever going to see a wrestler again. I don't think we've seen it after he's finished. Like Bobby, man, that made you believe whether you hated him, whether you liked him. You're going to get he's going to get a reaction out of you regardless. And from all the stories we've heard the last few days from guys that worked with him, guys that know him personally, whatever, there's nobody can say a bad thing about him. Like Bobby in the ring is completely different from the Bobby outside the ring. Guy that would open his garage for the neighborhood kids to come in and play, or, you know, just spend time with, you know, Arn Anderson living 2 doors down and spending time, him and his wife and Arn and his wife spending time together, you know, Aaron and Donna would do lunch or do whatever when the guys are on the road, just because they were that close, the wrestling wives. And I don't think the times being what it is then and now, you're not going to see it again. You really aren't. You're starting to see the closeness of like in AEW. You're starting to see the closeness of that. And I saw that firsthand going down like a Starcast and seeing the closeness of those guys and gals.
Yeah. You don't see too many wrestling marriages last as long as Bobby's did. And that's a sign of a good person. You know, I think the wrestling road can be a very hard thing on a marriage. Guys can do a lot of things behind their wives' back. And I don't think Bobby was ever one of those people that would do something like that. So just tells you the type of person that he was.
Right. And it's all about who you surround yourself with too. When you have a friend like Arn Anderson as well, and him and Aaron are the same way, that they've been married for years and years. And it was unheard. It's unheard of nowadays, and it's probably even more unheard of then. And up until his passing, Dusty would have been the same way, because I'm pretty sure he was married until the end as well to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just unreal. So 91, like we said, was the year of Bobby. We'll just go out and say that. He then joins
the Dangerous Alliance.
Dangerous Alliance, man.
And that is a underrated badass group. The Dangerous Alliance. First of all, you got Paul Heyman as your manager.
Right.
Arn is in there. Rick fucking Rude. Bobby. Let's leave Zbyszko out. Who cares about
Austin?
Him. But Steve Austin. Yeah. I mean, that was a hell of a group right there.
Was that Medusa in there too?
Maybe. I think so.
There was a female in there. I'm pretty sure it was Medusa. But he's become an ally, joining a group with Rude and Zbyszko, two guys that he's fighting over the TV title with and Arn and Steve. Did this really make Bobby's career relevant?
I think at the time it helped keep him
extended his career a little bit.
Kind of keep him toward the higher part of the card there if he's in the Dangerous Alliance, which they were pushing at the time. It's a shame the Dangerous Alliance couldn't have lasted longer. You know, maybe eventually turn him face to fight the NWO a couple years later, but I don't know.
But that would have, I don't know, that's an interesting way of looking at it, is being a part of WCW when the NWO, when they formed in there in 96, you're talking 5 years, man. Do you think that would even be possible to keep a faction around that long?
No, not really. I mean, even at the NWO, I guess you can say it lasted about 3 years, but really it only lasted about a year and a half.
Well, yeah, but the thing was, though, I don't want to compare the NWO and the Dangerous Alliance by any means, but with the Dangerous Alliance, they didn't add anybody. No, NWO, they're adding everybody. I'm pretty sure that Judy Bagwell is part of the NWO at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
She would have been better than Virgil.
Wow. Anybody's better than Virgil. But yeah, it's... So it's a faction that not a lot of people talk about then or now, is how much God-given talent was in that faction. And I'm not talking about like what would happen later on with Austin or Rude or whatever. And even Zbyszko, not a lot of people... I've never been a big fan of Zbyszko's commentary. You know that. But if you go back and watch his wrestling, it's not as bad as people think. And I believe, weren't they? They were in a, what the hell is it called? Cage. The War Games.
War Games, yeah.
Yeah, because they were going against the Horsemen, I believe, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's just, a shame that we, like I said, we didn't see that go farther. Obviously, being what it was, Austin's leaving, going up north. Rude's going up north. Zabisco is whatever he's doing. And then Arn's going behind the scenes because he's had his injuries. And they reformed the four horsemen. Just playing the what if game, man. It's just unfathomable of what could have been.
Yeah. You really wish they would have taken more advantage of having that young Paul Heyman in that group. I wish they could have done more and kept Rick Rude around more. I don't know if he was injured and that's when he left or what was going on, but man, I'm a big mark for Rick Rude. I thought he was a badass heel.
Mm-hmm. Did you, we'll go back briefly before we go to our last topic of the segment, but I briefly touched on Steve Armstrong and Tracy Smothers versus Midnights in 90 at the Great American Bash. The God-given talent, I'll say that again, of those four guys, man. Why do you think Midnights and Wide-Eyed Southern Boys, whatever you want to call them, Smothers and Armstrong, why do you think that didn't take off as much as other things in there in 90?
No, I think that whole Southern Boys gimmick had definitely kind of ran its course through the NWA and stuff over the years. I don't know if that was a little bit of the fans just were over that or what, but to me, the Southern Boys really never got over real big.
Well, because they were the Young Pistols too for a short time, or was that, I'm trying to think. I thought they were the Young Pistols as well. Or was that, I know it was Tracy, but was it, but it was somebody else. I don't think it was Steve.
Yeah, well, I think it was.
We'll have to Google it. Anyways. But yeah, it's tag team wrestling, man. When you go back and say, hey, who are the best tag teams of all time? Kid, you got to put Midnights on that list. Everybody's going to go to Dudley's, Hardy's, Edge and Christian, Usos, whatever. But when you want to think of pure or tag team wrestling, you got to put the Midnights on that. Absolutely, 100%. And if you doubt that, go to the internet, go to YouTube, go to the network, go wherever. Type in Midnight Express. Watch their matches with the Fantastics. Watch their matches with the Midnights. Go back and watch Bobby and Arn. Go back and watch, Bobby and Regal. You'll know why. Because the thing was, everybody always talks about the Road Warrior pop. Nobody ever mentions, the Midnight Express pop. Whether you hated them, you got the reaction. And especially with the territories, lining everything up the right way. Can you imagine the Midnights coming north and facing, LOD or Word Warriors? Kid.
The Heart Foundation.
There you go again. But because obviously being a southern team, that NWA never really came more north of, like, we'll say Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So just to branch out, you're thinking long term booking or something, kid. You'd make money hand over fist with that stuff.
No doubt. I
think anyways. Like I said, I may be off base with that, but. If you think I'm off base, hit me up on Twitter @_ringsiderant. But lastly, before we send it up to Rich to go to our listeners segment of the week, lastly, I want to touch on one last thing about Bobby. But what do you think, or what will Bobby be remembered for? Inside wrestling, outside wrestling, Bobby Eaton, the man, how is he going to be remembered?
I mean, as far as wrestling fans go, I think he'll be remembered as, I think when you think of Bobby Eaton, you just think of his work. I think he'll be remembered as one of the best workers. And in my opinion, one of the best tag team wrestlers in wrestling history. I think tag team wrestling is a lost art of the way guys used to get heat from the fans and the way they used to really be able to pull off the art of tag team wrestling, I think is lost anymore. But I think if, you know, you want to go back in history and look at some of the best, Bob Eaton's, in my opinion, the best tag team wrestler in wrestling history. I think you can put people like, you know, Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens, and there's a lot of people out there that were great tag team wrestlers, but Bobby's at the top.
The memory that I think a lot of fans, a lot of wrestlers in general too, are going to remember about Bobby is just watching him ascend to the top rope there. That Alabama Jam, man. Something that looks like it's absolutely killing the person, but at the same time, he's not even touching him. Something that when he leaves, he's a totally different person. They're going to be remembered as one of the nicest human beings in the business. Somebody once said that, you know a good person when the business doesn't make the person, but the person makes the business. Bobby Eaton made wrestling wrestling. Bobby Eaton made you believe that, you know, the heel aspects of it. And a lot of that can also be attested to, you said like that before to Jim Cornette. But when Bobby's going up to the commentators, Tony was talking about this on WHW. He's coming up to him at ringside, push me, push me. And he would bump for Tony Schiavone. Yeah. Being a commentator. He didn't care. He wanted that heat.
Him and Flair both did that stuff with the announcers a lot and the referees.
But it worked. You're not gonna see Roman Reigns doing that today. That's not gonna happen. No. That's old school wrestling. And that is why. And I've told this to numerous people, and yourself included, that's why I absolutely love doing this nostalgic wrestling, because you go back and you get to watch a lot of the stuff. I implore everybody that
he should have picked whoever was working with Tony to push him, because I'm sure Tony's push looked like the pussiest push of all time.
Right. But you get to go back and watch this stuff. I implore everybody to go back and watch this Bobby stuff while you're listening to this and watching these matches. Go back and watch this stuff. And then hopefully you get to see teams like the Fantastics, teams like the Road Warriors, teams like the Midnight Express, the Dangerous Alliance, whatever. And you go back and you enjoy that. That's why, you know, we do what we do, being Justin and myself, because we get to hopefully encourage you guys to go back and watch this stuff. Enjoy wrestling for what it is. Then, now, and even today. Enjoy wrestling for what it is. And I think that's one of the things that, another thing that Bobby, the legacy that he'll leave is he ate, slept, and breathed wrestling. And that's something that you don't see. Everybody's worried about the bottom line. Everybody's worried about what the ratings are. Everybody's worried about, you know, hey, what am I going to make on this segment, or what am I going to make with this sponsor?
And when you do that, you forget how to just go out there and get the fans to react to you in the ring. That's the important thing.
Somebody needs to tell me, and I don't know if you know off the top of your head, of one person that can do that today, that can go out there and make you believe that they're good, make you believe that they're bad, make you fall in love with the sport of professional wrestling.
I watched Raw Monday, and it made me believe it was bad.
I tried, man. I really did. I tried so hard. I tried watching NXT again yesterday as we're recording.
I even stayed till the main event because it was a decent match. And now
for Raw or for
NXT? Yeah, for Raw. And I can't even remember what it was now.
I don't even know.
It was now I know it was
Orton and Riddle.
Yeah, or no, not Orton and Riddle.
No, Orton Riddle versus AJ or no,
it was Orton and AJ. And then Riddle came in at the end. That's what it was.
But there's not too many people out there that make you believe anymore. You know, AJ does that occasionally. Orton does that when he wants to. Roman, Cena, but you can count that all in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Bobby made, like I said, I don't want to talk about this too much, but it just sucks, man. It just sucks where, you know, a world without Bobby Eaton is a bad it. The world sucks without Bobby Eaton in it. It really does. And there's no really better transition to go over, but I know one guy that really respected Bobby Eaton was Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's listener questions.
Thank you so much for that, Rich. Very happy for you to be back announcing for the New England area professional wrestling on the independent circuit. Great to see him back in the ring. But we're here for all you guys. You submitted your questions, and we thank you, each and every one of you that did it. If you ever do want to submit questions for the show, make sure you're following us on Twitter @_ringsiderant or @JD2040. Or if you're on Instagram, you can submit them there as well @_ringsiderant. Make sure you're following and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're hearing this right now. Tell your friends, tell your family. We're looking to be a lot more interactive and engaging all our loyal listeners as well. So with that being said, Justin, our first question comes from Handsome Andrew himself. He asked, favorite under the radar Eaton team? You got Arn, Kern, Regal, or Benoit?
I really liked him and Regal stuff. That was freaking good shit, pal. But I'd have to go with him and Arn. I just love probably their friendship, just the way they work. It's just really and that's another one that I would put in my top three or four of all-time tag team wrestlers in the history of wrestling. Arn Anderson's right there. So when you have him and Bobby on the team, I mean, how can it be wrong?
Right. I'm along the same lines as you. I just think when you're comparing Regal, the team of Regal and Eaton and then Arn and Eaton, it's two different ends of the spectrum. You know, Bobby was towards the end of his career when he was with Regal, but when he was with Arn, he was kind of in the thick of it. And you can never, ever go wrong with any match that Arn's in, that Bobby's in. But I think the stuff with Regal was so unique for him that not a lot of people expected him to be
funny.
To be, well, that too, because everybody was always thought of him as so serious. He didn't say much, but when he said something, it mattered. And when he was with Regal, it mattered. And you knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, go back and, you know, just Google the internet, man. The Blue Bloods with Regal with Eaton.
And by the way, I agree with Bobby. If someone burps in my face, I gag and puke too. So I'll keep that tradition alive, Bobby.
Oh my God. That story was absolutely phenomenal. But big thanks to Handsome Andrew for that question. Our next group of questions, we got three from Conrad over at Everything Pro Wrestling. Follow them on Twitter @EPW Show. First question is, what is your favorite singles, tag team, and specialty match involving Bobby Eaton? And this came to us from Conrad, but this was also asked by Money Mike as well.
Well, my favorite singles match is him and Arn for the TV championship. I really like that match. gosh, tag team matches, there are just so many to pick from. I really like their match with the Fantastics, though, at Clash, like you did. Mm-hmm. What'd they say, specialty match? I don't know, probably the scaffold match when Jim broke both his knees because Big Bubba didn't catch him.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of left that out off the run sheet on purpose. But scaffold matches, damn, I'm surprised not more people get hurt.
I just like the match just to watch Jim fall at the end. That's the best part.
Wait, but you see these still.
God damn, he didn't catch me.
It smells like burgers, motherfucker. But yeah, there's not really that too many specialty matches out there that he did outside of the scaffold mm-hmm. match. Because then didn't he do it again with Arn?
I mean, I'm sure he was in some World War III.
Oh, wait, no, he wasn't with Arn. Arn wasn't in a scaffold match.
No. He probably did some World War III matches, you know, some of that stuff. But that scaffold match just sticks out in my head when I think of, you know, a specialty match that he was in.
Mm. You know, and Conrad's next question, we touched on it earlier about the what we thought about Arn and Bobby as a team. And were they Brainbusters, you know, one before Brainbusters two with Arn and Tully?
Well, no, they were after
Arn. Three. Yeah.
I don't know. It would have been cool if they would have had like a badass name when they were a tag team. They were just kind of Arn and Bobby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely love that tag team. We talked about that, I think, a little bit ago.
Call them the Spine Busters.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah. Why not? So his last question, we also touched on it briefly, but we'll touch on it right here as well. But he said he enjoyed the Steven Regal and Earl Robert Eaton from everything. Blue Bloods were an underrated tag team. We touched on that too, man. I don't think a lot of people give them enough credit where credit's due.
You know what would have been fun? The Blue Bloods with their comedy against APA when they were like doing their comedy stuff.
Yeah. It's just a prim and properness of the Blue Bloods versus the APA, and they're just swilling beer and all that crap.
Yeah, there's a fantasy booking for you. Blue Bloods versus APA.
Hey, can't go wrong with that. That's for darn sure. So thanks to Conrad for those questions. Money Mike is up next.
Oh.
He only has two this. Well, he had three, but everybody kind of asked the same thing as far as the matches. But
by the way, Money Mike, it's Chick-fil-A. Dumbass. Learn how to pronounce it. Why? Sorry, go ahead.
What do you say, fillet?
Chick-a-filla, I think is how he pronounced it on a Zoom.
He's supposed to be the money guy. You would think he'd know how to pronounce corporation words and stuff.
I'm sure he's shoved down plenty of that fried chicken. He ought to know how to say it.
And it's always Bojangles is better than Chick-fil-A.
Of course.
Of course, without question. So he asked, who is a modern day Bobby Eaton?
I don't know. You watch more current wrestling than me. What do you think?
So when I saw these questions, when he sent them in, I thought of one guy only. Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that has been up and down the roads from promotion to promotion, that has been as high as they can be in main events, has been as low as curtain jerkers, has won tag titles, has won mid-card titles,
mm-hmm.
but never got to the top of the mountain. Not yet, anyways. I don't want to say Cesaro will never get to the top of the mountain. But
I think it's a fair comparison, actually. Another guy I think of, just thinking about it for a second, someone that has been around for a long time and really doesn't ever get a push and just kind of does his work. Bobby Roode.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But he was another aspect of it where guys like a Cesaro, guys like a Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler, guys that don't have to do all these flips and shit and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell the story in the ring, outside of the ring, on the mic, off the mic, whatever. That's, you know, that's what I would consider being a modern Bobby Eaton. Mm-hmm. Is you let your work in the ring speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get guys like Cesaro, Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler,
Sami Zayn, kind of a smaller type guy.
Kevin Owens, where they never get the proper respect that they deserve. Whether it be
like RJ.
Exactly. Proper respect. Nobody respects
me. Let me tell you, I get no respect around here.
I get no respect. If I got any respect, I get no respect. But yeah, those would be my guys. He said, to piggyback off of that, what tag team do you believe is the modern day Midnight Express? I got one, and it comes from AEW.
Mm-hmm.
FTR.
Yeah, I mean, that's who I kind of thought about. But
because you think about that style of wrestling where
they try to go back and do the old heel shit.
Right. You can even I can't even think of really anybody. You can even go back to, we'll bring Cesaro back up. Cesaro and Sheamus, when they were a tag team, briefly, you know, they made you hate them. They made it believable. But first and foremost, at the front of the line would have to be FTR, because one, they have the respect for past wrestling. They don't do the flip shit to get over. They can make you absolutely hate them before they even step foot in the ring.
I know one person that doesn't hate him. Miss Amy Vaughn.
doesn't hate FDR?
No.
Well, that's a given though. But hey, when you have Tully Blanchard as your manager,
you're over with Amy.
You're over with that too. You're over in general, but yeah, that would, I can't really think of anybody else really. Modern day anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
else that are tag teams are so,
they're not tag teams.
They're flippy and floppy too.
Right.
And I don't know that I would put Bobby and them into a flippy floppy category.
I'm just trying to think of, we could think of, they're not a tag team anymore, but, it was the North with Ethan Page and Josh Alexander.
Hmm.
Go back and Google that. Mm-hmm. They were the heels. They were faces. They made you hate them. They didn't do all the flippy dippy shit. Like I said,
speaking of hating, what's money Mike got? Has he got another question? Or is
no,
that
I think that's, let me look. No, that's it. Now we're on to our last question asker, I guess we could say.
Okay.
Devin Dowling asked, sweet Stan Lane and lover boy Dennis were his partners with the Midnight Express. Who is the next best? I know we briefly touched on that with Regal and Arn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say Arn for me.
Yeah. It would have to be those two. But lastly, he asked, does Bobby Eaton have the greatest mullet of all time?
We actually discussed this before we started the show, and I told RJ, I know who doesn't have the greatest mullet, and that would be
this
him.
Guy. but with all due respect, you didn't say a mullet had to be on the head.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the mullet that I always liked for my favorite was Pee Wee Anderson's.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It was curly in the back. It had like curls in the back, and that's what. So I got to go with Pee Wee.
Well, didn't Kyoto have a mullet?
Had one too. That was a little curly in the back too. But Pee Wee's was pretty strong.
But they didn't keep it though, like Bobby did. Bobby that's kept true. It to his whole life though. He didn't give a shit.
I think he's getting buried in his mullet.
Exactly, but it's just like nobody kept it. Kyoto, you know, you could even talk about bring up Eddie Guerrero in WCW.
Oh yeah, his was ratty. I mean, it was kind of.
but it was there. Oh, who's the other ones? Shoot, We talked about it. Armstrongs.
Oh yeah, Scott Armstrong.
Scott Armstrong. All the Armstrongs had him. pretty much every single one of the boys.
Imagine that family Christmas picture.
Oh my god!
All those mullets in one place.
Now, would you think that they take their Christmas photo would be, you know, partying? They have to take it from behind and in front.
I don't know.
Or profile
from
pictures?
The side.
For profile pictures. Mm-hmm. but yeah, hopefully. Big thanks to Devin Dowling for that. So hopefully, you know, we tried to keep it, you know, as serious as we could this week. Obviously, remembering Bobby Eaton, tried to make you guys laugh, hopefully. But, you know, try to keep it as serious as possible because we're both, Justin and I are both big Bobby Eaton fans, Midnight Express fans, old school wrestling fans in general. And we all lost a good guy, a generally good guy. This past week in beautiful Bobby. So, you know, like I said, we're not going to do any drops here at the end. We're not going to do any of the wrestling with music. That segment will come back next week when we discuss Kurt Angle. So we're going to have it's a little historical where this coming up next week was the anniversary of when he did the milk truck to the ring. So just, I know you weren't watching then. I implore you, I'll send you a link to watch it on YouTube. It was during the whole invasion angle back in 2001. So I implore everybody to go back, watch that. In addition, that was the main crux of it, but we're more going to concentrate on the life and the career. The career of Kurt Angle. Because
it's gonna be fun. I got to watch a bunch of Bobby Eaton matches leading into this, which was awesome, and now I get to watch some Kurt Angle matches, which is never a bad thing either. So
exactly.
We will be back next week and rocking, ready to go. But we are gonna miss Bobby Eaton.
Yeah,
glad we got to talk about him today. Like I said, shocking kind of his passing. Gonna miss him. He definitely was one of the good guys.
Yeah. So. Rest in peace, Bobby. We will definitely miss you, and until we see you again.